Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. About a month ago, one of Utah's own was awarded the highest honor bestowed by the United States government on scientists, engineers, and inventors. University of Utah chemist Peter Stang received the National Medal of Science from President Barack Obama.
The 2010 National Medal of Science to Peter J. Stang, University of Utah, for his creative contributions to the development of organic supramolecular chemistry and for his outstanding and unique record of public service.
Joining me now to reflect on that moment and his lifelong devotion to scientific discovery and teaching is Dr. Peter Stang. He's a distinguished professor of chemistry at the University of Utah, where he's served as chair of the Department of Chemistry and as dean of the College of Science. He's also currently editor of the Journal of the American Chemical Society and has authored or co-authored well over 400 scientific publications. Dr. Stang was awarded the National Medal of Science by President Obama last month. And Dr. Stang, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
If you have questions or comments about Dr. Stang's achievement or his work in chemistry, you can give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Dr. Stang, during the ceremony when the announcer was outlining these contributions that we just heard, President Obama was whispering something in your ear. What was he saying?
Oh, we were just talking about being a Democrat from Utah.
What did you say to that?
Well, I basically told him that I was a Democrat and therefore I was an endangered species, and that made him smile.
Your work in chemistry has long been respected and recognized, and you've received dozens of honors and awards. What does winning the National Medal of Science mean to you?
Well, it's a very special award because it's, of course, the highest award that our government can give to scientists. But it's particularly special because it recognizes not just my contributions, but the contributions of my coworkers, the many graduate students, postdoctoral fellows, excellent undergraduate students I have had. It recognizes the fact that you can do first-rate research at the University of Utah. You don't necessarily have to be at Harvard or Caltech to do world-class research, and so it's very nice to be recognized.
I want to get to your research in a moment, but first I'd like you to share some details of your personal story. I understand you were born in Germany, but your family lived in Hungary in the 1950s. Why did your family leave Hungary?
We left in 1956 during the Hungarian uprising against the then Soviet occupation and settled in the United States, settled in Chicago. And I was a teenager and middle of high school and went from being in high school in Hungary to being high school in the United States.
Wow. What was that transition like?
Quite interesting. I didn't speak English, but having had a very good science education and math education, I did quite well in math and science classes. I didn't do so well in English and American history at the beginning, but after a couple of semesters, some night school, some help, I managed to catch on.
What was the attraction to chemistry from a very young age?
Well, that's very interesting. In Hungary in the 1950s, it was possible to go into a drugstore, even for a teenager, and buy chemicals. And so I did. And I was able to get some real chemicals. And so I had a home chemistry laboratory and was doing experiments. I learned how to make slow-burning black gunpowder as a teenager and various other experiments, and that got me interested in science and chemistry.
Did you ever have one of those, the image that comes to mind is, you know, you're blowing up things in your garage. Did you ever have those kinds of experiments going, and were the neighbors going crazy?
No, I did not blow up anything, although I must say my mother was worried and not very happy. But I had no accidents, no blow-ups, even though I had some real chemicals.
Dr. Peter Stang is a distinguished professor of chemistry at the University of Utah, winner of this year's National Medal of Science. You moved to the University of Utah in 1969, so you've been here for quite some time. And I understand, I am not a chemist, so you're going to have to explain this to the layperson. I understand your work has to do with the architecture of a molecule and designing molecules. Can you put that in terms that someone like me could understand?
What we do is we make actually small molecules that have recognition elements built into them so that the individual pieces recognize each other and then come together to form complex large molecules, analogous to what nature does when nature assembles, for example, the proteins that all living organisms from the simplest to humans depend upon. And we're learning from nature to do this in the laboratory. Another way of looking at it, it's roughly analogous to having a Lego set. And with that Lego set, you can build many different things. And so it is with our molecules. We can make large molecules of different shapes, size, dimension, and then use them for potential drug delivery and other possible applications.
How long did it take you? How many years of research did it take you to develop this way of manipulating molecules and the building blocks of molecules?
Well, I've been in this area now for close to 20 years, and it's been about 20 years since we have been developing the methodology, scoping out the limitations of what can be done with this methodology, using modern instrumentation to characterize our compounds to be sure that we have what we think we have when these molecules form. And at the same time, making sure, of course, that students and postdoctorals learn and learn the technique, learn the importance, the significance of this work.
How is technology changing the way that you approach this? I mean, we've seen many, many changes in the capabilities of computers, and how is that affecting the way you're approaching your work?
Well, it's not always recognized that science is very much dependent on modern instrumentation and technology. So we're very much dependent on, for example, high-resolution nuclear magnetic resonance, mass spectrometry, what's called scanning, tunneling, microscopy, and all the modern tools that are available that were not available 20 or 30 years ago. And of course, these tools are constantly improving, constantly getting better, better resolution. We can now see things with microscopes that we were unable to see 20 years ago. We can do things with mass spectrometry that we were unable to do 20 years ago, and this is all very important.
How are your findings being used? There's research for research's sake, and then there's the practical application of that research. How do you envision that what you've discovered and what you're finding out now, how is that going to be used in the future?
Well, I need to be clear that our own research is very fundamental. It has no application at the moment as such. But this, of course, is true of all technology. You can think of it as science, fundamental curiosity, if you wish, driven science as sort of the roots of technology and engineering that drives modern economy and modern well-being and health of every American citizen. But there is a lag time. There is a lag time of anywhere from 5 to 25 years before basic science has applications. And so what we do will certainly have applications in, for example, what I call targeted drug delivery, so that the drugs that we take for cancer, for example, anti-tumor agents, aren't just injected in your vein and then go all over and cause side effects, but target specifically the tumor. And that will take some time to develop that methodology, but that's one possible application. Another possible application is in sensors and using these molecules to do sensors that, for example, medical doctors can use for real-time determination of what's in your urine, what's in your blood, rather than sending it off to a laboratory is another possible application. separation of, for example, methane, naturally occurring methane, from the impurities that it comes with is another possible application of these molecules. But that's all down the road. Mm-hmm. It's not tomorrow, not next week, but 5 or 10 years from now.
We're speaking with Dr. Peter Stang, Distinguished Professor of Chemistry at the University of Utah, awarded the National Medal of Science by President Obama last month. And during his remarks, President Obama made special note of your devotion to teaching. Here are some of his comments during the White House ceremony last month.
And just as each of today's honorees has had someone in their lives who lit a spark or kept that spark burning, they've paid it back by inspiring somebody else. When Peter Stang won this award, he made sure to thank the 100 postdoctoral and PhD students he's mentored over the years because, as he said, this recognizes their work as well.
That's President Obama during his Medal of Science award ceremony. Dr. Peter Stang, why is teaching, why is mentoring the next generation of chemists so important to you?
Well, it's not only important, but it's exciting, it's a pleasure, it's a real challenge to teach the young people modern science. And so that's one of the pleasures of being at a university rather than just a research institute, and being able to work with young people, open minds, teaching them the basics of chemistry, the basics of science that have applications all over. For example, our own daughter is a medical doctor, and when she was going to medical school, I said, to be sure to take as much science as you can, because modern medicine, the way you will practice medicine, is quite different from the way we currently practice. It'll be much more prevention, much more science, rather than what we currently do. And so it's very important, for example, for medical students to have a good chemistry course and understand the significance and importance of chemistry and science. And it's fun to teach these kids.
Mm. There's been a lot of hand-wringing of late that the United States is falling behind in science, technology, engineering, math, those STEM subjects. What's it going to take to energize, to bring a new generation of scientists into the fold and to get them excited about the possibilities?
There, young people have always been interested in science, and they continue to be interested in science, so that's not the problem. The issue is to be sure that science gets its fair share of the brightest, and so that they don't end up all going into, let's say, economics or banking or investment or law or other areas that are also important. But to be sure that in science we attract some of the best and get our fair share of the best people. And it's up to us to make that clear and make it challenging that science has a future, that science is important, that science contributes to society and is very important for the future well-being of the United States. Now, as far as is the U.S. declining, I don't think so. I think what's happening is that the rest of the world is catching up. It's not necessarily that the U.S. is declining.
You know, more China, of a race, huh?
More of a race, and, you know, Asia in particular, China, Singapore, Korea, Japan are investing a lot in science, and they're catching up. Now, it is true that with our budget problems, perhaps we're not getting as much invested in science as we scientists would like to see or as we should, but I don't think the United States is falling behind.
We've only got a few seconds left, but you are 69 years old. How much longer do you see in your career path?
As long as I have good ideas, as long as I get up enthusiastic in the morning, as long as I enjoy being in that classroom with the young people, I'll be doing it. And whether that's 5 years or 10 years, time will tell.
Dr. Peter Stang, a distinguished professor of chemistry at the University of Utah. He was awarded the National Medal of Science by President Obama last month. And Dr. Stang, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW News with help from Jesse Ellis, and thanks to Beth Clifford. Ryan Cron composed our theme music, and you can continue the discussion online at kcpw.org or check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up next time, an introduction to the new Museum of Natural History, so tune in for that tomorrow. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.